Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Wednesday, November the 24th, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat.
In the Superior Court of Glynn County, State of Georgia, the State of Georgia versus Travis McMichael, case number CR000433. Jury verdict form. Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty.
Guilty, guilty, guilty. The verdicts in the McMichael's Bryan trial, in the murder of Ahmaud Arbery, all three of the killers were found guilty. And just in time for Thanksgiving, making it a bittersweet Thanksgiving for the family of Ahmaud Arbery. I'll be talking about the verdict, reaction to it, and the notion of accountability. All of that coming up next. Dear listener, thank you very much indeed for joining me on this Wednesday, the eve of Thanksgiving here in the United States, as the holiday is almost underway, really marking the beginning officially or unofficially of the holiday season. And I have to say, what a Wednesday this has been thus far. I hope your Wednesday so far has been good, and I hope that it is moving in the direction you want it to as we get toward Thanksgiving. I have to say, this was a day I did not expect. As you know, the episode today is going to focus on the guilty verdicts, guilty, guilty, guilty of Travis McMichael, Greg McMichael, and William Bryan, the three murderers of Ahmaud Arbery. Let me correct that, the three lynchers of Ahmaud Arbery. Young black man jogging in broad daylight in his own neighborhood, in his own area, in Georgia, in Brunswick, Georgia. And these three murderers executed this young man who was minding his own business. I did not think that any of these three killers would have gone to prison at all. I did not think that an 11 white person, one black person jury, and I would really have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that jury room. I did not think that in the deep South, let alone anywhere else in the entire United States, that a jury of 12 people that had 11 white people on it and one black person on it would ever convict three white male killers. Videotape or not, of the lynching of a black man named Ahmaud Arbery. Never in my wildest of nightmares did I think that that would happen. And alas, on one of a very few occasions, if I may be so bold and braggarty, if you will, I have been proven wrong. But it isn't about so much me being proven wrong. I would then turn around, dear listener, and say to you that this is the exception that proves the rule. This is the exception that proves the rule. I am very happy about the verdicts that were cast today. In a few minutes, I'm going to play the verdicts as they were read out live by the judge, and he didn't stumble at all in his announcement of the verdicts. And I said to you, dear listener, last week when Kyle Rittenhouse became Kyle Rittenwalk, that a key to knowing, it's a very small sample size, but a key to knowing that a defendant is going to walk is when the jury foreperson or the court clerk or the judge stumbles on that defendant's name. That is when you know they're going to walk. It happened in 1995 of O.J. Simpson, and the court clerk stumbled over the name Orenthal, as in Orenthal James Simpson. She stumbled over the name. And, yep, lo and behold, he walked. Same thing with Kyle Rittenhouse last week. The court clerk stumbled over his name, and he walked. But this week, there would be no repeat. I should say, not this week, but today, rather. There would be no repeat of that verdict from last week. And I must say, dear listener, to you, that when I heard the verdict, I was absolutely shocked. I was shocked. I was surprised. Black people have seen this movie so many times. We know how it starts, we know what the middle of it's like, and we know how it ends. We've had more than 400 years of experience with the movie. We have been the subjects of that movie for that many years and more. And so for me, it was a staggering surprise today. Shock, absolute shock, that these three white men, and I say, again, video or no video, would be convicted. And look, I know, I can hear you now. Well, George Floyd got justice. Well, not exactly. He got accountability. Justice would be having George Floyd alive and well right now with his family, celebrating Thanksgiving with his daughter, with his girlfriend, with his family. That would be justice. Accountability is what the family of George Floyd got when Derek Chauvin, just over 7 months ago now, in fact, it was 7 months and what? 7 months and 5 days ago. That was accountability. And today, accountability, the day before Thanksgiving, and the jury deliberated for less than 24 hours on this. It makes you wonder. It just makes you wonder. Obviously, it was very clear to me that even with a video, we have seen so often that white men who murder will literally get away with murder, videotape intact. There's been so many instances of this. We've seen it with Eric Garner. We've seen it with Tamir Rice. I mean, I really don't want to, on the eve of anything, let alone a holiday. I mean, I've gone through this so many times on this podcast. So many times. And we've seen white person after white person after white person after white person walk. It's the same thing with Terrence Crutcher, with that white female cop out there in Oklahoma or wherever the heck it was. Minneapolis or Oklahoma, I forget which part of the world, which part of the United States it was in. Could have been Oklahoma City, I don't remember. And she shot that brother in the back of the head as he was walking with his hands up on his head. Executed that brother. She walked. So that's just a few of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cases where black people in this country have been executed by a white person And that white person has not even in many cases been indicted, much less even gone to trial and been found not guilty. So, knowing history, knowing the reality of this country, being awake and conscious about the way this country here treats us, no way on earth would I ever have placed any bets on these three white male murderers, executionists, being found guilty of murder. But lo and behold, I was wrong. That jury came back with a guilty verdict. Guilty verdict for Travis McMichael on felony murder. Guilty verdicts with the other two, Greg McMichael, his father, and William Bryan. Guilty of murder for felony murder for both of them and assorted other charges. Those carry the murder charge, whether it's felony murder or malice murder, which is what Travis McMichael was found guilty of in the murder of Ahmaud Arbery, malice murder, which is intentional murder. Each of those murders, whether it's felony murder or whether it's malice murder, each of those carries 30 years behind bars, period. Mandatory. So they're going to have to serve the minimum of 30 years behind bars, each of the three of them, for what they did. They can be damned to hell, as far as I'm concerned. Damn all three of them to hell. The judge, Timothy Walmsley, Walmsley, Timothy Walmsley, will be having a hearing in the next few days to decide on the sentencing for each of these three murderers. I think that he should be throwing the book at them. I know he should be throwing the book at them. And it's just a question of whether or not he's going to decide whether they get parole or not, because they have to serve a mandatory 30 years. And I really would be shocked if they don't. The only question is, will they get parole at this hearing that the judge is going to hold into the near future, I guess somewhere in the near future, or will they die in prison? Because if he does not grant parole, that's exactly what will happen. And quite frankly, that is what should happen. They should be able to rot in prison. They should not have any parole. It was all there on video for you to watch, if you dared to. And I didn't dare to watch all of it. I closed my eyes and looked away because I am fed up of having to ogle more freaking videos of people who look like me murdered in this country, or murdered anywhere for that matter. I'm fed up of it. Fed up of it. This is not amusement and fetishization for people. This is real. It is not to be ogled. It is to be ended. And a verdict like the ones that came down today do send that message that these murdering you-know-whats had better think twice. Because even in the frickin' deep South, you might just walk into a jury that actually takes time to look at evidence, takes time to consider what the prosecution is saying and weigh the evidence provided and entered into by both of the contending parties. And then they might just say that the prosecution proved their case beyond a reasonable doubt. And I only saw 5 minutes of this trial. 5 minutes. Five. And the 5 minutes I saw, it was very clear to me that the prosecutor, in this particular case was razor sharp. She was superb. And that was just 5 minutes I've watched. Linda Dunikowski, who is the Cobb County Senior Assistant District Attorney. I have to say, I'm going to say this, you don't hear me say this often. Linda Dunikowski, who is a white female prosecutor, I respect her to the max. She and there was a black female prosecutor on there, and I don't remember her name. I want to thank her as well, and I want to thank the white male prosecutor as well on that team. All three of them get my maximum respect and praise for doing their jobs exceptionally well, and particularly Linda Dunikowski. I thought she was excellent, and I only saw 5 minutes of the thing. I don't have to really. I mean, I could. I just didn't have the time, and just like with everything else, you know, you're busy. You're doing this. You're doing that. There's a lot of work I had to do. There was just no way I had even time. But I saw 5 minutes of this whole trial. And I thought, how long the trial been going on for? Maybe 6 weeks? I don't even know. 6 weeks, a month, 2 months? I don't even know. But I only got to see 5 minutes of it. And that was within the last week. And Linda Dunikowski did an excellent job. Excellent job. Clear, methodical. She really asked that jury to think logically and think critically. And that's what a prosecutor's office should do. When it zealously prosecutes a case that has the facts, that has the law, and that has the evidence, and not some bullcrap, and not some prosecution that acts like a defense attorney for the accused, and not some prosecution that wants to grind down some boys in Central Park. Not a prosecution that is interested in making headlines for its own political gain and building careers off the backs of black folk. But a prosecutor's office and prosecutors like Linda Dunikowski, who was interested and were interested in one thing and one thing only: proving the case beyond a reasonable doubt, the case they presented before that jury. And so good was Linda Dunikowski that that jury took less than 24 hours to say guilty. That's how good she was. And if I only saw 5 minutes of this trial, that jury saw every minute of that trial. And obviously, what she and her team did had a profound effect on this moment that we had today. Quite frankly, it's a history-making moment. You do not find, especially in the Deep South, white men going to prison for anything regarding the murder of black people. It doesn't happen. It happens very, very, very rarely indeed. As I said earlier, it's the exception that proves the rule. And I have to say, I lost it here. Not when the verdict came down, but when the mother had her press conference, when Reverend Sharpton had his press conference there with the mother, and when the father of Maude Arbery had the president. I completely lost it. I lost it. Crying. I did not think this day would come. I really didn't. And I think what strikes me, dear listener, and I really would like to know how you feel about this, is the mother of Ahmaud Arbery was 100% confident that this day would come. And I don't know how quite frankly, someone who has lost her son and who is going to go through the rest of her life of Thanksgivings without him, could have such confidence that a system that continuously and forever has discarded, kicked us, thrown us to the curb, denied us, given us no kind of justice or accountability, that they would somehow turn that around on this one occasion and provide some accountability. But she did. You can call it the power of prayer. You can call it whatever you choose to call it, dear listener. But Wanda Cooper Jones, the mother of Ahmaud Arbery, was very confident that justice and accountability would be served. Now, of course, as I said, true justice would be, the real justice would be having Ahmaud Arbery at the Thanksgiving dinner table tomorrow with his mother and with his father. That would be true justice. That would be justice. But the accountability, that definitely was achieved today. I never, ever expected that this was going to be the result. And you know, I told you last week that a few weeks ago, before the Rittenhouse verdict came down, I was very confident that he was going to walk. I was correct. And I was equally confident that these three murderers would walk as well. Very confident about that. I got that wrong. But one thing I want to say, and I'm going to play the verdicts again in a few moments, I promise, and some other audio. One thing I want to say, dear listener, is upon listening to about 2 minutes of, and you know, I do not watch the corporate news media, but I broke that rule watching a part of this trial for 5 minutes and then watching today the verdicts coming down, which you could have got that probably anywhere because it was broadcast in a lot of places from what I understand. But the point is that that's the only other time I've watched anything on the corporate news media. And again, it was for a very brief moment with the verdicts and then about a minute and a half of these pundits talking, and I just turned it off. I just couldn't. I just muted the... I could not deal with... I'm not going to mention names. I couldn't deal with... Again, it's a black... But this just kills me. It's a black pundit. Legal lawyer, like myself, but the law that this particular pundit does is criminal law. I'm not in criminal law. I've interned in law firms and done pro bono and done all kinds of cases like that, you know, as pro bono requirements for the firm you work in, but I've not practiced in criminal law, but I know how it works, you know, and I've written things for internships and things like that and worked on things peripherally, but not ever tried a case in a criminal court, or and that's because that's just not my discipline. And someone whose discipline it was got on television and started talking about this is a great day and this restores our faith in the system. And this is a black person talking. And I'm sitting there going, are you freaking kidding me? One freaking verdict? And you're now saying that it restores the faith in the system? Are you? What are you talking about? And you're a black person saying this. Do you not see 400 freaking years? Or are you just distilling this down to one moment today? Look, I am not trying to be disrespectful to the family members of Ahmaud Arbery, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the moment. But that commentator, who will remain nameless, in my view, was being disrespectful to the moment. Don't start jumping up and down about this is a great day for the system and the system works and our faith has been restored. It's one freaking verdict. Oh, God. Sorry for shouting, dear listener. This is the kind of thing that really drives me up the bend, as you can tell. The notion that within 5 minutes of the end of that verdict, it wasn't even 5 minutes, it was less than two, that a commentator of any race, but especially a black commentator, is sitting there talking about this is a great day for the system and our faith has been restored. Are you kidding? Oh, dear. I guess, you know, there are people who are too quick to start jumping up and down for a system that does not work for you. Why are you jumping up and down after one case? Same thing with what happened 7 months ago. When Derek Chauvin was convicted, there were lots of people jumping up and down. And I'm saying, wait a minute, what are you jumping up and down for? First of all, you're never going to get this brother back. George Floyd is gone. And second of all, this is relief. It isn't even joy, it's relief. Because many of us as black people are sitting out here going, we don't think this thing is going to ever end up so that these people get convicted, because we have enough ample evidence. 400 plus years worth. That we get lynched, we get castrated, we get disemboweled, we get murdered in this country. Emmett Till did. And there's no accountability. I mean, it's just evil. And I just really am sick to my stomach, quite frankly, dear listener, of commentators, particularly black commentators, talking this bullcrap about, ooh, this restores our faith in the system. It's been restored. Oh, please, shut up. Excuse me, dear listener. This is, it's not even just indignation. It's the pathetic bullcrap that comes out of the mouths of some of these folks. And I am especially ticked off that there are black commentators, some of them, who seem to be so in love with the system that they run to kiss its backside. You know who those people are if you watch a certain channel. And you know who they are because I've also talked about them before. I talked about someone last week who said this kind of nonsense. Except when this other person said it, they said, oh, I am shocked and surprised by the fact that Carl Rittenhouse walked. Are you joking? What are you shocked and surprised by? White guys walk all the time. Are you surprised? And this is a seasoned attorney, trial lawyer. And I couldn't believe that. That I'm shocked and surprised by. That this particular lawyer, who is a commentator, was shocked and surprised. Now, I am shocked and surprised at the verdict today. But when you're telling me, as a legal commentator, that you see this verdict as something that now restores our faith in the system? Are you kidding? If you're saying that and you're black, you are unmoored from reality. Welcome back. Dear listener, thank you very much indeed for your loyal listenership. And it's greatly appreciated. It's been quite an emotional day, I think, for a lot of people. But first and foremost, of course, Wanda Cooper Jones, the mother of Ahmaud Arbery, and Marcus Arbery, the father of Ahmaud Arbery. And by the way, I am about to play you, uninterrupted, the 5+ minutes of the actual verdict as it was read out live in the courtroom by the judge, Timothy Walmsley. And you have to hear this. And by the way, speaking of hearing, you will hear somebody shouting out during the first verdict that is read out. And you will hear, just so that you know to expect this, you will then hear Judge Walmsley ask for the person who shouted out in reaction to the verdict, the first verdict, to be removed from the courtroom. And it just so happens the person who shouted out was Marcus Arbery, the father of Ahmaud Arbery. So, just so you know, the person you will be hearing shouting out in the first minute or so of the verdicts being read out is indeed the father of Ahmaud Arbery, who then was ejected from the courtroom. He was removed from the courtroom and he did not get to hear the rest of the verdicts. Now, there's a lot of talk about whether or not he should have been ejected, but look, if the judge is setting down rules in the courtroom, that judge has the parameters to do so. And I didn't want to see the father of Ahmaud Arbery having to leave the courtroom. But if the rule is that you're not supposed to make outbursts in responses to the verdict once the verdict's been announced, then you have to abide by that. You can't blame Marcus Arbery, however, for responding. This is 18 plus months now of... I mean, it's been almost 2 years. Can we just put it like that's more than 18 months ago? It's been 19 months. 19 months. I'd say it's even more than that, actually, if I do my math correctly. It's something more like 21 months. 21 months. 21 months ago. 21 months and 1 day ago. It's almost 2 full years ago that Ahmaud Arbery was lynched. So forgive Marcus Arbery if he should respond. But again, you know, there's the other part of it again, is the judge does have the parameters in it's his courtroom. So there you go. But anyway, with all that said, I want to play now for the next, it's the next about 5 minutes or so. Excuse me, uninterrupted, pardon me, uninterrupted, the full verdict as they were read out earlier today in the courtroom by Judge Timothy Walmsley for Travis McMichael, Greg McMichael, and William Bryan. And they were guilty, guilty, guilty. That's the Cliff Notes version. Here now is the actual version that took place in the courtroom earlier today.
Verdict is as follows. In the Superior Court of Glynn County, State of Georgia, the State of Georgia versus Travis McMichael, case number CR000433. Jury verdict form. Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. I'm going to ask that whoever just made an outburst be removed from the court, please. As this court has indicated, I ask that there be no outbursts in the court, and I expect as much from the gallery. Please respect the court's desire for this as we move forward. If you feel like you need to make a comment or otherwise demonstrate with respect to the verdict, I do ask that you step out of the courtroom now. Count two, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count three, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count four, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count five, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count six, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count seven, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count eight, false imprisonment. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count nine, criminal attempt to commit a felony. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. dated this 24th day of November, 2021, signed by the foreperson. Have a seat. As to Gregory McMichael. In the Superior Court of Glynn County, the State of Georgia versus Greg McMichael. Case number 200043. Jury verdict form. Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, not guilty. Count two, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count three, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count four, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count five, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count six, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count seven, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count eight, false imprisonment. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count nine, criminal attempt to commit a felony. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. This 24th day of November, 2021, signed by the foreperson. As to William R. Bryan. In the Superior Court of Glynn County, State of Georgia, State of Georgia versus William R. Bryan. Case number CR200433, jury verdict form. Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, not guilty. Count two, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, not guilty. Count three, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, guilty. Count four, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, guilty. Count five, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, guilty. Count six, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, not guilty. Count seven, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, guilty. Count eight, false imprisonment. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, guilty. Count nine, criminal attempt to commit a felony. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, guilty. Signed this 24th day of November by the foreperson.
Welcome back, dear listener, and it's been, again, an emotional Wednesday. I hope you are faring well. This has been quite a day. I've been really surprised, pleasantly, for the most part, surprised by the way this day unfolded with this particular case, this verdict. Now, again, the prosecutors have to be commended. I've already thanked them, but the people I really want to thank, as well as the prosecutors, were the activists who, day in, day out, not just during the trial, not just in the pre-trial, and not just today, but ever since Ahmaud Arbery was executed on February 23rd, 2020, ever since then, those activists have been marching, protesting, walking, you name it. They have not stopped in over 20 months. They haven't stopped. And those activists out there in Brunswick, Georgia, in that area, who continue to go and march and protest and demonstrate and let their voices be heard for the last 20 plus months, they get a big round of applause and massive respect from me. Because that takes dedication, tenacity, steadfastness, the ability to believe in yourself and your convictions, and also to believe in accountability and seeking it with your voices and with your example. And so for me, to those activists, the many activists who were out in Brunswick and beyond, who, but particularly in Brunswick, who were always there, not just for the trial, but ever since this whole lynching happened, I want to say a huge, massive thank you for all of your tireless work. Hundreds upon thousands of hours of tireless, relentless dedication to making sure that this jury would eventually do the right thing. And they did do the right thing. And I'm telling you, the prosecution should get a massive round of applause for that. And I've done that. But it's also because of you, the activists out there. You don't think that this verdict would have come if the activists did not stay in the street, if you didn't have black pastors, if you didn't have Reverend Jesse Jackson inside that courtroom, Reverend Al Sharpton inside that courtroom, if you didn't have Benjamin Crump in that courtroom, the Attorney General for Black America? You'll hear that coming up. You'll hear him referenced that way coming up in a clip I'm going to be playing shortly. If you didn't have all these people and then sustained protesting, you think that this verdict would have even happened? Please do not be naive. When we get accountability or justice, as it were, we have to really fight for it in this country as black people. White people don't have to fight and fight just to get the outcome that we got today. White people, by and large, don't have to do that. They really don't. But black people, we do have to do that. We have to kick and scrape and shout and scream and commit acts of civil disobedience, nonviolent civil disobedience. And we have to have police beating us up as we're engaging in nonviolent acts. We have all these things happening just to get a jury to do the right thing. With all the evidence in front of them, do the right thing. We have to go through all of that. That shows you we do not have a democracy and we do not have a just country. We don't. We have a very racist country. And we have a very unjust country. The fact that we have to do all of that as black people, just in the off chance that a jury may decide to do its job, shows you where we really are and how insidious all of this is and how much of a disgrace the country is. And any notion of land of the free and home of the brave, that's just nonsense. If one group or many groups, but particularly black folk, have to fight and scrape just to get what should be handed to us, quite frankly, pretty damn easily on a platter, because all you have to do is look at the video. And that jury today did that. They obviously did it. They had done it. They'd seen it. And they looked at the other evidence. And it was very clear what was going on. And that's why it took less than 24 hours to convict these murdering pieces of garbage. I mean, come on. That's what happened. But if we had a just country here, black folk would not have to be demonstrating day in and day out and sitting in courtrooms or outside them, standing outside them for days and days. We wouldn't have to do all that just to get a jury to say, yeah, those white boys who murdered this brother who's just jogging and minding his business, they're all guilty. We shouldn't have to go through all that just to get a guilty verdict. That is not what white people have to do, dear listener. Nobody should have to be out here on the street constantly reminding everybody. But we do have to do that. Because if you don't, the world forgets. If you don't, there'll be more atrocities to come. If you don't, you'll have more people being lynched like Ahmaud Arbery. And this verdict today sends a message that if you dare do anything like this, you are going to have the book thrown at you. Now, of course, there's always going to be people who go, oh, I don't care, I'm going to... But I'm saying to you, this verdict today sends a massive message. Because, let me tell you, as I said before, Greg McMichael was a former employee at one of these district attorney's offices locally there in that county or very near it. He was a police investigator or a police officer at one point for them, for that county, whichever county it was that's adjacent to it, to the where the trial is. I always forget which county. So this is if a former police officer can be convicted, then I guess there's hope yet. But one thing I will not have are commentators proclaiming our faith in the system has been restored. That's just garbage. I won't have that. And I certainly won't have it from a black commentator who is an experienced trial lawyer and telling us that our faith in the system has been restored after one verdict. I don't think so. I do not think so, dear listener. I want to, at this point, turn the floor over to the Reverend Al Sharpton, who today was outside the courtroom just a few minutes after the verdicts had been read out. He was inside the courtroom when that was happening. But a few minutes later, all the occupants who were in that courthouse, inside that courtroom, when the verdicts were being read out, they all ended up going outside and having a press conference. And I'm going to play the full thing. It's about 27 minutes, so you're going to bear with me. But you really should, it may be a little bit less than 27, I'm not sure. But you really should listen to this because, this is during the time that I was listening to some of this. I absolutely lost it because I just couldn't believe this day had come. Now listen, I am not jumping up and down. I am happy for this family, especially because it's going to be a very difficult day for that family tomorrow. Very bittersweet Thanksgiving for them. Yes, they got justice, or I should say accountability for their son. But while they're having their Thanksgiving dinner, there is going to be an empty space, right? It's going to be the second Thanksgiving that they've not had their son. And that's really the thing that's going to hurt, particularly tomorrow. I'm sure it did last year as well for the Arbery family. But let me get you now to this event. Literally, it was a press event that happened outside the courthouse. And here is Reverend Sharpton. And you'll hear a number of people. And you'll also hear, by the way, at some point in this from the... there's two people you will hear from, I think, in this, from the prosecutor's office. One of them, I forgot her name. The other one, I did not forget her name because I've said it several times during this podcast episode. You will also hear from Linda Dunikoski, the Cobb County Senior Assistant District Attorney, who was the lead prosecutor in this case. She was excellent. Again, I only saw 5 minutes of this. She was excellent. That is how you try a case. That is how you prosecute a case. That is how you do it, what she did. Just absolutely cut to the chase. No muss, no fuss. Was absolutely, dynamic in just the efficiency of how she prosecuted the case. She was very efficient and very concise and very clear. And that's what excellent prosecutors do. They are efficient, concise, and clear, and exacting with how they present exhibits. They are exacting with how they explain things. They are crystal clear. The rule, of course, in any thing, but particularly when it comes to criminal trials, is never ask a question that you do not already have the answer to. Because if you, as an attorney, are asking questions that you don't already know the answer to, you're in big trouble in a case. And prepared to have your defense or your prosecution blown out of the water. That is a golden rule, or I should say, that's a rule to live by if you are a practicing attorney. But particularly if you are a practicing attorney in the criminal trials that you may be doing, if that's your discipline. Never, ever, ever ask a question that you don't already know the answer to. And now, without any further ado, lots of statements and not necessarily any questions. Here is, I think it's the Reverend Dow Sharpton first. Take it away, Rev.
Believed. And let us, more than anything, thank the mother and father of Ahmed. They lost a son.
That's right.
But their son will go down in history one that proved that if you hold on, that justice can come.
Yes, sir.
This mother would tell me, Reverend, we're going to win this, when I had doubts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She kept praying. Mm-hmm. This father said, we got to get some justice for my son.
Right. Yes.
And let the word go forth all over the world that a jury of 11 whites and one black in the deep south stood up in the courtroom and said that black lives do matter. Let it be clear that almost 10 years after Trayvon, God used Wanda and Marcus's son to prove that if we kept marching and kept fighting, we would make you hear us. We got a lot more battles to fight, but this was an important battle today.
Yes.
This was proving that our children know their value.
Yes.
And that's why those people that marched, I'm talking about the people here, that was here when nobody else was here. They stood up.
Come on.
Brunswick.
Real talk.
Brunswick, Georgia will go down in history as the place that criminal justice took a different turn. Let us pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Dear God, we come thanking you for your mercy. Thanking you for giving us a prosecutor's team that when it looked to us like they'd stacked the jury, that you still found a way to open up the minds of people to listen to the evidence and weigh it based on facts, not based on skin color.
Come on.
That you gave strength to this mother and you gave strength to this father to not give up on you, even when many of us doubted. Even when many of us said it's not going to happen, you came in the state of Georgia, a state known for segregation, a state known for Jim Crow, and you turned it around. You took a young unarmed boy that they thought was worthless, and you put his name in history today. Years from now, decades from now, they'll be talking about a boy named Ahmed Aubrey that taught this country what justice looks like. As we go forth, let us go forth in the victory you've given us. Thank everyone in Brunswick that marched, that stood out in front of this courthouse that was called a lynch mob, but they kept on marching. And let us know that all whites are not racist.
Come on.
And all blacks are not worthless.
Come on.
That we're all your children.
Yeah.
And we will give you the grace and give you the glory. The glory be yours, not ours. Let us not be proud and let us not be vengeful. But let us be thankful that you brought us closer together today. These blessings we ask in your name and your sake. Thank you, Lord. We never had a Thanksgiving day like today. We will hear from the attorneys and the parents. Let us hear from the attorney for Wanda, who is running for the Texas Attorney General. He asked me not to say it, but I'm going to say it because we need attorney generals like this.
Amen.
Lee Merritt, followed by the Attorney General of Black America, who flew in and out even as he handled other cases. These lawyers kept going to the wall and stood up.
Amen.
We walked out of court buildings with tears in our eyes.
Amen.
We cried inside, but they were tears of joy.
Yes.
Because people like Thurgood Marshall and others broke down barriers to produce a Ben Crump and a Lee Merritt.
Amen.
Lee Merritt.
Amen.
You all don't want to hear from me right now. You want to hear from the family of Ahmaud Arbery, as we all do. We want to wrap our arms around them.
Yes.
The only reason that I'm speaking is to provide an introduction for a praying mother. You all have known her now for the last 18 months. 18 months ago, when she learned about the murder of her son, they told her that she would just have to deal with it alone. They told her that there would be no arrest, that there would be no accountability, that there would be no justice. And she made her son a promise before she laid him in the ground that her mom, his mom, would fight for justice for him. In order to do that, Glynn County had to change.
Yes, that's right.
She couldn't find justice in the Glynn County that she found in the year 2000.
That's right.
On February 23rd, there was a prosecutor standing in her way, Jackie Johnson. Wanda Cooper prayed her out of the way, out of office, and she's facing criminal charges herself.
That's right.
When she came to Glynn, when she was looking for justice in Glynn County, she was faced with a corrupt legal system, one that never fully investigated her son's murder, as we learned during the course of this trial. Wanda performed her own investigation. Wanda hired her own attorneys, and she woke up a nation.
Amen.
Can you all join me in just giving a round of applause for this fighting, faithful, praying mother?
Amen.
I'm going to let Wanda come forward. Come on, Wanda.
I just want to say thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank each and every one of you who fought this fight with us. It's been a long fight. It's been a hard fight. But God is good.
Yes, he is.
Early in, I never saw this day back in 2020. I never thought this day would come. But God is good.
Yes, he is.
And I just want to tell everybody, thank you. Thank you for those who marched, those who prayed, most of all the ones who prayed.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. And now Quez, which you know him as Ahmaud, I know him as Quez.
Yes.
He will now rest in peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Lord.
Come on.
Let me find a way to step out of the way.
You all heard the gut-wrenching grunt.
Oh, my goodness.
That came out of Marcus Aubrey when they pronounced Travis McMichael guilty. He could not contain it any further. Because think about how long he and Wanda have been enduring all the innuendo, all the allegations, all the character assassinations, long legs with dirty toenails. Just imagine all they went through. That when he heard that, Reverend Al, he could not contain himself, because Marcus, as a father, they see their job as to protect their children.
That's right.
And you can experience the pain of a mother and a father who witnessed what they witnessed, not being there to protect their child.
That's right.
Every parent in America can take solace in knowing that we have an example of how to deal with tragedy and grief when they look at the example of Marcus Aubrey and Wanda Cooper.
Yes.
And we should applaud them.
Right.
They should be applauded.
That's right.
And I tell you all, We together did this. We all together, black, white, activists, faith members, lawyers, prosecutors, we did this together. We said, America, we will make us better than what we saw in that video. And I would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge, even though we are clapping and we're cheering and we applaud, Wanda and Marcus still are devastated because they're missing Ahmaud.
Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Devastated.
That's right.
And so even though this is not a celebration, it is a reflection to acknowledge that the spirit of Ahmaud defeated the lynch mob. Yeah. The spirit of Ahmaud defeated the lynch mob. The spirit of Ahmaud defeated the lynch mob. Marcus Aubrey.
You got this. Go on, Marcus.
Go. Number one, I want to give all glory to God.
Yes.
Because that's who made all this possible.
Yes, it is.
Number two, I want to thank his mama.
Yeah.
And I want to thank my sisters and brothers. I want to thank my children for being strong through this rough time.
Yes.
Because I know it was hard what they had to deal with.
Yes.
And number two, I want to thank all y'all people, all the support y'all gave us. Because one of us even did this. You know, one side did this.
That's right. Yeah.
God put us all together to make this happen.
Yes,
so it ain't no one side. Tell what I tell you. God don't work one-sided.
Yes.
God worked two-sided. All right, I'm going to put you here. I'm going to put you there.
Amen.
So y'all pull together and work this thing.
Yes. Amen.
So, hey, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Amen.
Because if one side wouldn't work, it wouldn't have happened.
That's right.
You had people working when you wasn't working.
That's right.
Come on. When you weren't working, you had people out here working, marching, going in these offices.
Yeah.
We conquered that lynch mob.
Yes.
We got that lynch mob. This history of the day. Letting you know that black kid life don't matter.
That's right.
For real, all life matter.
All life.
Yes.
Not just black children. We don't want to see nobody go through this.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to see no daddy watch their kid get lynched and shot down like that.
That's right, Mom.
So it's all our problem.
All of
it's all our problem.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's keep fighting.
Let's keep fighting.
Let's keep doing it and making this place a better place for all human beings.
Amen.
All human beings.
Amen.
Everybody.
Amen.
Love everybody.
Love everybody.
All human beings need to be treated equally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We finna conquer this lynching. Today is a good day.
Yeah. Amen.
All right, Hallelujah.
Before the lawyers come back, let me also say, as I said to all of the activists, the family, thank them. We thank a lot of those that were local.
Yes.
Reverend Baker, who stood up even when other clergy wouldn't stand up. This pastor stood with the family.
Yes,
the others.
Yes.
We want to thank Barbara Einwine for coming down. And been here from the beginning. All of the ministers that came last Thursday. We want to thank Cliff, who's been a rock in the word land. And I want to thank, if he's watching, Reverend Jesse Jackson, who, despite his illness, came down and sat in that courtroom.
Yes.
And all of us, this is a day white and black activists showed we could unite and beat the lynch mob that killed our men.
Right.
And though I never say this often, I must say, we want to thank the prosecutors.
Right.
Yeah, they stood and fought for this family. Tomorrow, in all our joy today, there will be an empty chair at Wanda's table.
Yes.
Right. Ahmaud would not be at Thanksgiving tomorrow.
That's right.
But she can look at that chair and say to Ahmaud, I fought a good fight.
Yeah.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
And I got you some justice.
Yes. Yes.
We can't fill that chair for you, Wanda, but we can say that you are mother.
Yeah.
Above all mothers.
Yeah.
You fought for your son.
Yeah.
And Marcus, you fought for your son.
That's right.
And even though it'll be a sober and solemn Thanksgiving, you can thank God
You didn't let your boy down.
Come on. Yes. Come on. Come on. Come on, man. Thank you.
So, Ben and I had a difficult task to do when showing up to this courthouse and turning the case over to the prosecutors. We want to exercise, as attorneys, as advocates, we want to exercise control over something this important.
Yes.
And it was difficult to relinquish that control to the Cobb County's prosecutor's office. Of course, we had to under the law, and they did what they had to do to secure a conviction. And I applaud them for putting on a airtight case that resulted in conviction for all these men. They've invited Wanda and Marcus and their supporters to stand with them for their press conference. And so we're going to do something else that's difficult to do. We're not taking any questions. We're going to step back.
Yeah.
We're going to allow the prosecutors to make a presentation about their case as we stand with them in solidarity and thank them for their efforts.
Amen. And it's a good example for when Lee Merritt is Texas Attorney General.
Tonya Hines, and I'm the Executive Assistant District Attorney for the Cobb County.
Hello, hey, y'all, please be quiet so we can give them the respect they so richly deserve.
Hello, my name is Latonia P. Hines. I am the Executive Assistant District Attorney for the Cobb County District Attorney's Office. I bring you greetings and remarks from our District Attorney, Flynn D. Brody Jr., who was appointed as District Attorney Pro Tem for this case and for the prosecution of this case. Unfortunately, he was not able to be here due to a family medical emergency. First and foremost, we want you to know that from the moment this case came to our office, it was our foremost goal to ensure that we got justice for Ahmaud Arbery's family. And in particular, we are so very proud and thankful for the confidence that the family has given to us. We admire and commend the courage, the steadfastness, and the strength of Ms. Wanda Cooper Jones, Ahmaud's mother, and Mr. Marcus Arbery Sr., the father of Ahmaud, in seeking this justice during this process. It has been a long road, and we are so happy that we're able to be here at this end of this road. We'd like to also say thank you, and we commend the courage and bravery of this jury. Amen. To say that what happened on February 23rd, 2020 to Ahmaud Arbery, the hunting and killing of Ahmaud Arbery, it was not only morally wrong, but legally wrong. And we are thankful for that.
Amen.
We want to thank and specifically recognize some people who have been involved with regard to the prosecution of this case. In particular, our team, our lead attorney, Senior Assistant District Attorney, Linda Donikowski. Yeah. Assistant District Attorney, Larissa Oliveira. Yeah. Senior Assistant District Attorney, Paul Camarillo.
Let's go, Paul.
Our Chief Investigator, Charles Prescott.
Thank you, Brother Prescott.
Deputy Chief Investigator, Keith Lamone. Yeah. Investigator Cameron Watson. Yeah. Investigator Darius McClure. We also need to thank people from at home who've also been helping us with regard to this case. Ms. Kayla Willis. Ms. Jada Baxter, who is here, Cindy Bard, Sarah Rapp, Laramie Floyd, Matt Morgan, our communications department, our fire and EMA, IS, DOT, and GIS. We also need to thank also the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigations, and in particular Director Vic Reynolds, Special Agent Richard Dial, who I believe is here with us. Special Agent Jason Seacrest, Special Agent Lawrence Kelly, and Inspector Eve Rogers. We also need to thank specifically with the Glynn County Police Department Deputy Chief Ricky Evans and Captain Jeremiah Berquist. We also with the Glynn County Sheriff's Office need to thank Glynn County Sheriff Neil Jump, Yes. Glenn County Clerk of Court, Ron Adams. Yes. Georgia State Patrol, Major Thornell King and Sergeant Chris Black. With GEMA, we also thank Operations Managers for Homeland Security, Todd Keyes. What we can make note of this is that Ahmaud's death has signaled significant changes in this community and in our state and in this nation. With the passing of Georgia's first ever hate crime bill and the changing of Georgia's antiquated citizens arrest law, we want to thank this community for the support that it has given to the family and to us and the community at large. And we want to have some opportunity to have some remarks also from our team. So our senior assistant district attorney and lead attorney, Linda Dunikowski.
Thank you very much. But this was a team effort. I want everyone to know that this was a gigantic team effort. D.A. Flynn Brody put his faith and trust in our team, and I could not have done it without my trial partners. They were all very, very instrumental in making this happen. We had so many people on the team that helped to bring justice for Ahmaud and his family. And we really, really appreciate the support that we had and the faith from Mr. Arbery, okay, and from Ms. Wanda Cooper Jones, who have been with us and have put their faith in us and trusted us to bring justice for Ahmaud. And the verdict today was a verdict based on the facts.
Yes.
Based on the evidence.
Yes.
And that was our goal, was to bring that to that jury so that they could do the right thing. Because the jury system works in this country. And when you present the truth to people and they can see it, they will do the right thing. And that's what this jury did today in getting justice for Ahmaud Arbery. Thank you.
Well, you heard all of that from Reverend Sharpton and Lee Merritt, and of course, as he's called America's Attorney General, the Attorney General for Black America, Benjamin Crump. You heard from the mother, Wanda Cooper Jones, and the father, Marcus Arbery, and you heard from the prosecutor's office, including from Linda Dunikowski, and I want to thank all of those individuals who spoke at that press conference you just heard that took place earlier today. There's really nothing more to add to that. I've made a number of points and clear ones. And dear listener, I thank you for your indulgence. I really do appreciate you. And again, I am sorry for shouting. This is very important what's happened today. It is not, however, an invitation to say things like, oh, we have faith back in the system now, it's restored. It's not restored my faith in the system because of one verdict. I will tell you that right here and now, dear listener. That's not the case for me. I don't know how that is for you. How do you feel about this? I mean, you know, that's something you have to answer for yourself. You are going to have your feelings about this verdict. Hopefully those feelings are ones of relief and happiness. But, you know, everybody's different. I'm not going to ever presume what people think and feel about certain things, particularly when it comes to this. Although I can say, based on history and experience, what I think people may be thinking about some of these things or what their feelings may be. But of course, I could be completely wrong. Just like I was about this verdict before, I was completely wrong. But again, it'll be interesting to find out how, and if any of these jurors speak, by the way, in the next few days or in the next few weeks, maybe, or even in the beginning of next year, it'll be very interesting to see if they do it. And I would love to hear from that black juror. I would love to hear. And I would love to find out what that jury room was like and how they worked together. Obviously, they worked together pretty darn well if they got this verdict within less than 24 hours of the deliberations. I mean, literally, it was less than 24 hours. It was barely 24 hours that they got the case. And boom, guilty, guilty, guilty. So there you go. Is your faith restored? If you're black, if you're white, whomever you may be, dear listener, listening right now to me, to this podcast episode, is your faith restored in the so-called justice system in the United States after this particular verdict? I would like to know. You can drop me a line at politocratpod@gmail.com. politocratpod@gmail.com. I would like to know. Is your faith restored in the system? I may even put that up as a poll on Twitter. But by the way, you can find that poll at ThePopcornREEL. That's my Twitter handle. You can follow me there at ThePopcornREEL. And I may well put that up as a poll. Has this verdict now restored your faith in the system here in the United States? That's what I'll be asking of in the criminal, so-called criminal justice system. I really would like to know what you think about that. Tell you what, I want to wish you, if you're in the United States, a very happy, safe Thanksgiving holiday, and be careful out there. And like I said, to those of you who have family and friends that you're sharing with, I hope you do eat as much turkey as you possibly can stomach. And I do hope that you do think about the Aubrey family and think about all these families all over the world who do not have parents or have loved ones or have anyone that has disappeared or been murdered or their lives have been ended because of something. They don't have them at their dinner table tomorrow. Think about them. Think about in your own family. Maybe you don't have someone at your dinner table who should be there tomorrow. You know, think about all these people who've lost their lives from this pandemic that still goes on. Think about them. All these countries where people haven't even been vaccinated yet. Think about all these gun deaths. All this gun violence and all this terroristic violence, this terrorist violence that we've seen in Waukesha, Wisconsin, what we've seen, the terrorist attack at the beginning of the year, January 6th, in the Capitol building. Think about all these things, you know, for a few moments of tomorrow, please, because, you know, people are in a lot of pain. There are a lot of people in a lot of pain in the world. And I really think it's important to not only acknowledge that, but actually take an active role in not only acknowledging it, but thinking about it, and then also trying to help some of those people if you ever come across those persons, which I'm sure you do, whether it's online or off. But I do want to say this again was quite a day. I did not expect a day like this. It's the kind of day that kind of hits you in the side of your face because you are surprised that every now and again, every once in a blue moon, or maybe once in a Halley's Comet, you might just get some accountability. We still have such a long, 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 long way to go, however, in this country, before we really get true accountability from a system that is working just as was intended. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.